The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Welcome to this week's Soap Opera Digest. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Pete Peake, reading today from the August 18th, 2025 issue of the Soap Opera Digest to keep you up to date on all of your favorite characters and soap opera news. In our first story today, John Abbott died on The Young and Restless and Other Big Moments in Soap History from August the 18th by Mara Levinsky. Lucas Jones was born on General Hospital. John Abbott passed away on The Young and Restless. Quinn Fuller and Carter Walton declared their love on The Bold and Beautiful as she pondered ending their affair and other memorable soap moments that took place on August the 18th. In 1989, Lucas Jones was born on General Hospital. The baby was with his adoptive parents, Bobby and Tony, as well as Robert, who for a time was believed to be Lucas's biological father, and Robert's then significant other, Catherine. Lucas's biological parents are Cheryl Stansberry and Julian Jerome. The character is now played as an adult by Van Hanses. In 2006, John Abbott passed away on The Young and Restless. Douglas, who passed away in 2021, continued to appear intermittently as a ghost, but this was marked the end of his regular tenure on the show, which had kicked off in 1982. John was one of the show's mainstay patriarchs, and his demise had tremendous ripple effects across the Abbott family, which are arguably still being felt today. In 2023, Beth Maitland, who played John's daughter, Tracy, recalled her late co-star to Soap Opera Digest, saying, "Exasperating and hilarious, Jerry loved the Abbotts like his real family. He was ferocious in his dedication to all of us and never hesitated to give us his love, advice, and his opinion. He was John Abbott with his whole heart." In 2008, Jana Hawkes and Kevin Fisher wed on The Young and Restless. The ceremony took place at an ashram in Malibu, and Amber served as Jana's maid of honor, with Kevin selecting Daniel as the best man. Michael was a groomsman, and his wife, Lauren, was also in attendance, along with the groom's mother, Gloria, Colleen, and Jeffrey. The officiant turned out to be Lowell River Fisher, played by Michael Gross, Michael's long-lost father. In 2008, on General Hospital, Sam McCall was shot when Karpov's latest shipment was intercepted by the DEA on the docks. Lucky came to Sam's rescue, but she refused to go to the hospital, insisting that her injury was only a flesh wound. Lucky took her home, and she was still bleeding, so Lucky grew more adamant about getting her medical attention. She was equally adamant about not going to the hospital, so Lucky decided to call Elizabeth. Liz hightailed it to Sam's, where she quickly deduced that Sam and Lucky had been faking their recent breakup. Sam and Lucky confirmed this, explaining their efforts to unmask the counterfeit drug ring that had infiltrated Port Charles. Liz stitched Sam up and left the room to throw away the bloodied bandages. When she returned, she caught her ex and Sam in an embrace. In 2021, on The Bold and Beautiful, Quinn Forrester told her lover, Carter Walton, that her husband, Eric Forrester, had called off their divorce. "He says he wants our life and our marriage back," she sighed. Quinn was torn between her feelings for both men and spoke glowingly on how Carter had been there for her. She called what they had shared magical and unforgettable. Weeping, Quinn said she wasn't sure that she could walk away from Carter. Though heartbroken at the prospect of losing Quinn, Carter encouraged her to go back to her husband. Eric had excitedly told Carter that he had decided not to divorce Quinn and wanted her back in his life because he still loved her. "I know Eric can give you a wonderful, fulfilling life," Carter told her. Quinn admitted that she loved her husband, then declared that she loved Carter too. Carter reciprocated the sentiment. In our next story today, the tune-in alert. General Hospital spoilers. Jason reunites with Britt with a warning. "You're in Danger" by Michelle Parkinton. The Danger Zone, the General Hospital spoilers for the week of August the 18th, teases a dangerous week ahead. At the Five Poppies Resort, Jason and Britt are finally reunited as the promo begins with him standing at the door of her villa. But from the expression on Britt's face, it appears he is an uninvited guest. "You're in danger," he warns his ex. Will Britt take Jason's words to heart? Will she fill him in on how she survived? Elsewhere at the swanky Croatian resort, WSB agent Jocelyn is doing some spy work as the video shows a clip of her peeking around the bushes, scrutinizing something. Or is it someone? "We have a problem," Britt is heard saying as the teaser flashes to a clip of Jason dressed in a crisp white summer suit, fixing his cufflinks. Next, Jocelyn and Vaughn are prepared to make contact with Dr. Westbourne. "Let's go get Britt," Joss is heard saying, but when she opens the door to her and Vaughn's room, there's a man holding a gun at her on the other side. With their cover blown, are the WSB agents in danger? Must-see TV. Back home in Port Charles, Lucy, Brooklyn, and Maxie are with Flora on the Home and Heart for a segment on Deception's new lineup when something goes horribly awry. Maxie rubs some cream on her face, then collapses. "Maxie," shouts Brooklyn as the video fades out. See it all for yourself in the preview video. Let us know what you think is going to happen in the comments section. And be sure to check out our First Look gallery for a sneak peek at what's happening on all of the soaps this week, including General Hospital. In our next story today, the tune-in alert for The Bold and Beautiful, Luna on the Loose by Chris Eads. The Bold and Beautiful spoilers for the week of August the 18th show some big plans about to go terribly awry. Carter intends to marry Hope, but she's been growing closer to her ex Liam after his recent brush with death. Plus, Electra and Will are planning a big night out to celebrate, but Luna has other plans. Can she be stopped? Three's a crowd. There has been plenty of drama and upheaval both in and around Forrester Creations, but Carter remains focused on his goal. "I want to marry Hope," he informs his pal Ridge. "However, she's been spending an awful lot of time with one of her exes, Liam." Liam was grateful for Hope's support while he believed himself dying of a fatal brain tumor, but he suggests that she doesn't have to keep sticking around now that they know it was all a scam, and aside from having recently been shot in the chest, he's doing just fine. "There's a million other things you could be doing," he says with a smile, but Hope assures him, "There's nowhere else I'd rather be." Will Carter find himself losing his fiancée before they even get to walk down the aisle? Party Crasher. As Electra and Will arrive at the party to celebrate his promotion, Deacon assures his guests with a sly grin. What happens at Il Giardino stays at Il Giardino. The restaurant is jumping as a bartender pours drinks and a DJ spins tunes for the dancing crowd. "All right," Will exclaims excitedly. However, an uninvited guest could throw everything into chaos. "Luna isn't here," Lee tells Sheila over the phone as she stands in front of the young woman's empty hospital bed. On the other end of the line, Sheila leans forward in her chair and she asks, "Well, where would she go?" Having learned about the bash from Sheila, Luna looks around the sidelines of the party disguised in a wig and large sunglasses. Spotting a decorative mask, she picks it up and smiles wickedly to herself. Will and Electra believe Luna is dead and gone, not realizing that Lee spirited her out of the hospital to keep her alive as she nursed her back to health. And it looks like Luna has recovered well enough to stir up some serious trouble. Check out the Bold and Beautiful previews for a taste of the action coming your way and share your predictions about Carter and Hope's future, as well as what crazy stunt Luna might pull next. Please check out the First Look gallery for a sneak peek at what's coming up on all of the soaps. In our next story today, the tune-in alert for The Young and Restless. Claire Drops a Truth Bomb by Chris Eads. Things are getting intriguing in the Young and Restless preview for the week of August the 18th. Chelsea wonders what Billy and Sally are up to. Holden puts his guard up around Daniel, and Claire has some important information for Nate that could blow up his life. When the time is right, hanging out in the jazz lounge, Chelsea is intrigued to learn that Billy has handed control of Abbott Communications over to Sally. So if Sally's leading your new company, where does that leave you? She asks him. As Sally stands by his side, Billy can't resist stringing Chelsea along for a bit longer. I do have exciting news of my own, he boasts, and I will enlighten you very soon. Billy Abbott has big plans in mind, but how long before he goes public with them? A fishing expedition? Holden's defenses go up immediately as Daniel starts asking questions. Are you digging for dirt on me? He wonders, smiling. Daniel insists he's not. Did Kane put you up to this? Holden demands to know. Daniel has resisted Phyllis's attempts to bring him into her new business with Kane as he works to take control of Genoa City's most powerful empires. But is he interested in joining up, or is he attempting to protect his mother? Confession time. Okay, what's it all about? Nate asks, eager for Claire to just spit out whatever it is she clearly needs to get off her chest. Calmly, Claire declares, it's Audra. There's something you need to know about the kind of person she really is. Angry that Audra continues trying to destroy her relationship with Kyle, Claire looks poised to destroy Audra's relationship with Nate. But if she tells him about Audra accepting Victor's money to seduce Kyle, will Nate even believe her? Get a sneak peek at some of the drama coming up this week on The Young and Restless in the previews, and share your own predictions on what's coming up in the comments section. And don't forget, check out our First Look gallery for a look at what's next on all the soaps this week. In our next story today, the tune-in alert for Beyond the Gates, I Think We Have a Situation by Diane Brunstein. Trouble is brewing. The action in the Beyond the Gates spoilers for the week of August the 18th opens at Martin and Smitty's home. Martin, I think we have a situation, Smitty tells him. These two were dealt a serious blow when the biological mother of their kids, Samantha and Tyrell, was revealed to be Naomi's new friend, June. And has something happened on that front? I know what you did. At the hospital nurse's station, Ashley is finally confronting Andre about seeing him kissing Danny. I didn't lie, insists Andre, but Ashley knows that her eyes weren't deceiving her. I saw you and Danny Dupree all over each other, she tells him, with disgust. News travels fast. Vanessa pays a visit to Nicole and sees Nicole's parents, Anita and Vernon, as well. Unfortunately, this isn't a pleasant social call. But I have some news, and you're not going to like it, she says, dread in her voice. Inquiring minds want to know. At Leslie's apartment, Ava is there, watching her mother touching up her look in front of a mirror, well aware of how much her mother loves to wreak havoc. Ava can't help but ask questions. Why the rush? And why is Anita Dupree the first person you need to see? Ava wonders. Unleashed fury, apparently Leslie is ready to give the answers to Ava's questions. To Anita, at least. But over at the Dupree house, Anita doesn't want to hear it. Leslie looks like she's just been slapped, and Vernon immediately checks on her. Anita lets loose as she yells, get that woman out of my house. A huge shock. In Danny's guest house, where Chelsea and Kat are living and working, the two women are excited. Who is up next? Kat asks. Chelsea, Kat, Chelsea answers back, clearly enthused. Then both women scream it and jump up and down, and suddenly the scene switches to what appears to be someone chloroforming Chelsea from behind her. Is it Allison, or could it be Madison? Or is it someone else? See it all for yourself in the preview video. Let us know what you think is going to happen in the comments section, And be sure to check out the First Look Gallery for a sneak peek at what's happening on all of the soaps this week, including Behind the Gates. In our next story today, the tune-in alert for the days of our lives, Johnny's Trial Shocker and Kristen's Chaos by Diane Brunstein. Empires Collide, the action in this Days of Our Lives spoilers for the week of August the 18th, begins as Stephanie is having it out with her beloved father, Steve, regarding her boyfriend, Alex. "You're investigating his company," she says, obviously not happy about this latest development with her father's professional life. Alex begins to wonder if he's getting the full story from the CEO of Titan, Xander. "Is there something in those filings to worry about?" Alex asks. Xander is put on the spot and remains silent. The scene switches to the Demira mansion, where Tony is hosting a meeting with Gabby on the couch in the living room. She's reading a contract, and he's handing her a pen. "Bring Titan to its knees, and the Demira CEO job is yours," he tells her as Gabby allows a small smile to cross her lips. Legacy shift. Julie is at the bookstore with Foster, and she has a question for him. "Have you had any more bids?" she asks the shop owner. "What are you getting at?" he asks her, sounding a little annoyed with her probing. "I know the perfect person to buy this store," she says earnestly. And everyone's future. In the courtroom where Johnny's trial is taking place, EJ is facing off with his former girlfriend, Belle. She throws an irritated look in his direction. At her mother Marlena's townhouse, Belle tells her mother, "He crossed the line." Back at court, Johnny is confronting his father and says, "I had you removed from this case." At the Demira mansion, EJ is talking with Marlena and winces, "My God, the lives I've altered." As he says that, Chanel gives Johnny, her husband, a supportive hug. Hangs in the balance. Suddenly, Kristen enters the courtroom and chaos erupts. Paulina, Chanel, and Marlena are sitting together in the gallery and look on in shock at Kristen's outburst. Leo, a juror, reacts. Kristen looks like she's arguing with the bailiff as Belle and Johnny exchange shocked glances. The bailiff moves to control Kristen, but she fights him off as she yells, "No, no!" See it all for yourself in the previews. Let us know what you think is going to happen in the comments section. And be sure to check out our First Look Gallery for a sneak peek at what's happening on all of the soaps this week, including Days of Our Lives. In our next story today, check it out. What happened to Drew on General Hospital? By Chris Eads. Drew on General Hospital had a confusing life and an unfortunate death, but we'll try to clear things up for you. The character, technically, first appeared back in October of 2014, played by Billy Miller. Although, for the first 3 years, Drew thought he was actually Jason Morgan, which is why in flashbacks, Steve Burton played Drew since they used to have the same face. Also, Asher McDonald played Drew in a scene from his childhood. Unfortunately, in July of 2019, the actor announced his departure from General Hospital. But this wasn't the end of the character's story, because in August of 2021, Cameron Matheson revealed that his mysterious new role on the soap was actually Drew, and he's been playing him ever since. Who are Drew's parents? Drew and his twin brother, Jason, were born to Susan Moore after her affair with Alan Quartermain. When Susan was pregnant, she fled Port Charles and stayed with her cousin, Heather Weber, in New York City, fearing Alan would drag her back home to raise their child. When Heather brought nurse Bessie Frank in, they learned that Susan was having twins. Heather suggested that since Alan didn't know they were having twins, Susan could return to Port Charles with Jason and leave Drew with Bessie. Then, after Alan took custody of one child, Susan could return to the other. How are Drew and Franco connected? Susan died tragically and Heather never returned, so Bessie raised Drew alongside Heather's son, Bobby, who later became known as Franco Baldwin. She claimed the two were as close as brothers could be until Drew died of a heart defect. However, when an adult Franco confronted Betsy, she confessed that Drew hadn't died and she was forced to give him away after Franco had pushed him down a flight of stairs when they were 3 years old. Later, it was revealed that Franco had been molested by Jim Harvey, and when a confrontation as adults led to Jim attempting to kill Franco, Drew shot the monster dead. Later, the two men became even closer when Franco was temporarily implanted with Drew's stolen memories. Why is Drew's last name Cain? Drew grew up in an orphanage and later became a Navy SEAL who was stationed in San Diego, California. But while his name was Andrew Cain, it was never revealed who his adoptive parents were who gave him that name, if, in fact, that's where he got the last name of Cain in the first place. That's one mystery that was never solved. Who are Drew's children? While he was a Navy SEAL, Drew had a fling with Dr. Kim Nero, and while brief, it was passionate enough that she gave birth to his son, Oscar Nero. He also has a daughter, Scout, with Sam McCall from the time they were married, and everyone believed him to be Jason. Why didn't Drew want his memories back? When Drew was found on the side of the road, his face was badly injured, and he required reconstructive surgery. While he initially suffered from amnesia, he soon began to recall memories of being Jason Morgan and living in Port Charles. So everyone in town believed that he was Jason back from the dead. That is, until the real Jason returned from the dead, having been kept prisoner in a Russian clinic for many years. It was then revealed that Dr. Andre Maddox had developed a procedure for copying memories and transferring them that he had hoped to use on his ailing wife and other Alzheimer's sufferers. But his technology was used to steal Jason's memories and implant them into Drew. The flash drive containing Drew's memories finally surfaced, but once given the opportunity to restore his past, Drew chose not to, afraid that the procedure would erase the memories he'd created during his time in Port Charles. Knowing he wasn't Jason allowed Drew to forge his own life, but it also meant the end of his relationship with Sam, whom he let return to Jason. Drew continued to rely on his friendship with Curtis and running Aurora Media. He grew closer to Kim as they bonded over Oscar's terminal illness, and they shared a kiss on New Year's Eve, but it never went any farther than that. After a man approached Jason, believing him to be Drew and claiming to be an old friend of his from Afghanistan, both Jason and Drew were wary of the stranger. Rightfully so, as it was later revealed that Hank was actually Shiloh, the leader of the Dawn of Day cult, but Drew was more focused on making sure that Oscar's final days of life were as happy as they could make them. How did Drew die? After Oscar's death, Drew worked through his grief only to find himself at the center of Shiloh's dastardly plot. The cult leader was desperate to know what happened to the stolen money from their time in Afghanistan, and since Drew didn't remember anything about it, Shiloh swiped the flash drive with his memories and implanted them into Franco. This meant that Drew could figure out where the money was that Shiloh was after and found it in the car Oscar had left in Cameroon. Franco suggested the cash be returned, so Drew flew off to Afghanistan, but then went to track down Andre and get him to come back to Port Charles in the hopes of restoring Franco to his previous self. Unfortunately, while Andre made it back, Drew's plane was reported lost, as though it had simply vanished, thanks to arrangements made by Peter August, trying to cover his involvement in the memory-swapping scheme. Who held Drew prisoner? Drew may have been legally declared dead, but in 2021, it was revealed that he was being held prisoner in an undisclosed location when he managed to make a brief call to Sam begging for help. When he was treated by nurse Chloe Jennings, he hatched an escape plan, but unfortunately, only she was able to get away. He then encountered Dr. Liesl Obrecht, who has also being held prisoner, and learned that Peter was working with Victor Cassadine and they had been behind his kidnapping. Peter then activated Drew by hypnotic suggestion and had him try to kill Anna Devane and Valentin Cassadine. As they exchanged gunfire, Drew was hit, but he survived and continued doing Peter's evil bidding until Jason managed to deactivate him. He helped Britt and Lysel escape the Cassadine compound, but Jason was presumed dead when the tunnels collapsed. What did Drew do when he got home? Drew returned to Port Charles and had a bittersweet reunion with Monica, where he told her about Jason. As he struggled to fit back into his old life and accept that Sam had moved on with Dante, Drew grew closer to Carly as she leaned on him in Jason's absence. She also helped Drew out when Victor tried looking for a way to control his mind to search his memories for Project Demeter. Drew assisted Curtis in investigating his father, Marshall Ashford, who turned out not to have been dead, but in hiding. After meeting with an executive coach, Drew decided to work with Michael to merge ELQ and Aurora Media. Unfortunately, Valentin squashed that move, and Drew felt terrible because it left Carly without enough money to reclaim her half of the Metro Court she'd sold to invest. How did Drew and Carly get together? As Drew continued to try and help Carly deal with moving on from her marriage to Sonny, as well as coping with losing her hotel and money, the pair grew closer together, and during the Quartermain charity picnic, their flirting led to a kiss. Although Carly wanted to take some time before jumping into a new relationship, Drew thought they could have something special and flew down to Jacksonville, where Carly found herself stranded in Florida. After he helped her deal with some problems in her old hometown, Drew and Carly decided to give a relationship a try. Unfortunately, they had to keep it a secret because Ned threatened to report Carly for insider trading in the Aurora ELQ merger. Why does everyone hate Drew? Drew won his election, but the celebration came to a violent end when Jason assaulted him. Everyone thought he was overreacting to a kiss, not realizing Jason knew the whole truth. Rick urged Drew to file assault charges, but Drew just wanted Jason to stay quiet. After Sam died, she named Drew as Scout and Danny's guardian, which further upset Jason. Drew tried to make it up to Michael by offering him the CEO position at Aurora, saying Curtis was only ever meant to be temporary, not realizing Michael was recording him to play for Curtis. Tracy agreed to let Willow and the kids live in the gatehouse again, but declared Drew banned from the property. During an argument with Carly, Drew publicly revealed that Jason was the father of Sasha's unborn baby and began working with Jen Sidwell to take over Sonny's waterfront property to build a public esplanade. He bought a new house and invited Willow to move in with the kids, and although she initially declined, she soon changed her mind when asked to give Jason an alibi for the time of Cyrus's murder. Drew lied and said Jason wasn't with him, and when Tracy filed a court order barring him from using the Quartermain name, Drew threatened to report that the family crypt was partially on public land. That was our final story today, and thank you for joining me on the Soap Opera Digest. I'm Pete Peake for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.